So last week, Pastor Drew Frieder was with us from Salisbury, Maryland. And by the way, he was completely blessed by everyone here. Thank you guys so much for making them feel so welcome. And also all the encouragement that you gave him afterward. He was so blessed by our church. He said, this way he told me, he said, I've been to a bunch of churches, but he said, it's like everyone here just wanted me to do it, like do well. And he said, they were letting me know that. And so I just want to say thank you to everyone. It means a lot to us that you would encourage someone that is so close to us. So thank you for your encouragement to Pastor Drew and their family and all the things that God has planned for them in Salisbury, Maryland. And something really cool happened last Sunday. We actually have a family here in the church that is from Salisbury, Maryland. And so when they found out about Drew, they were excited to let their families know back in Salisbury that there is a new church that is coming. And so it's crazy how God connects those dots.
Yes.
And so anyway, that was such a fantastic week. But today we're jumping back into a series that we started a couple of weeks ago called Where Are You Going? How many of y'all remember 2 weeks ago? Some of y'all can't even remember 2 minutes ago. I know, I feel you, okay? And so I'm going to recap, but before we do, I want to read the verse of scripture that we're using as our text for this series. And we're going to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. And Joshua is one of those guys in the Bible that's really easy to follow. He's really a hero in the Bible. And I think if you really dive into him and really read up on him, you'll find some connections that you can relate to. But you also will see pictures of Jesus whenever you read about this guy. And so Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left the acacia grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. And 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. Now, before I go any further, let me help you out here, because you're like, you just dropped this story on me and I have no clue where we're at. So I'm going to give you a person who is really familiar in the Old Testament. His name is Moses. How many of y'all heard of Moses before? So God had called this man Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so Moses has been on this trek now for 40 years, trying to lead them through this wilderness to get them to the promised land. And so Moses, the living legend, this awesome man of God, has just passed away. And so now that he has passed away, they need a replacement leader. And this guy, Joshua, just so happened to be Moses' assistant. He was Moses' aide. And so he now is dubbed as the new leader of the people of Israel. And so he's grieving the loss of this great influence in his life, and now he's taking on this leadership role to continue to lead them into the promised land. And he just has that overwhelming feeling of, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like, you ever interviewed for a job and you told them all kind of really, really cool stuff and they hired you, and then the first day you sat there at your desk and you said, what am I doing here? And this is Joshua. And so when you read the early on in the book of Joshua, it's saying stuff like the Lord speaking to him, tell him, like, be strong and courageous. It's kind of like getting a text from a friend on your first day of work, like, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it. Just make it till 5 p.m. today. Meet me for lunch. You know, like, let's go eat a salad. We're all going to be all right. And so it's kind of like the Lord was encouraging him, and now it's time to really get moving. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning on the first day of work, and you can't just sit there all day and try to figure it out. You got to do something. And so now he's to the point to where he has sought the Lord, and the Lord's telling him what to do. And so he's setting it up right here. And so this is the instructions he's given in verse 3. He says, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. This is what he's telling the people. And now listen to this verse. Verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. This is the pinnacle verse today that we're going to use in this sermon. He's telling them, listen, these priests are going to go before you. And he's saying, since you've never been this way before, you need to follow them. They're going to help you to get there. They're going to guide you. And then he tells them, stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. And then Joshua told the people, and this is what we spoke on 2 weeks ago. He said, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. I think that's a word that's so relevant for us today. He says, purify yourself today. In other words, make the right changes today, and tomorrow you'll see some good things that God wants to do in your lives. And I believe that puts us in a position today to do a little evaluation and check yourself to make sure that you're living right. And if you're not, make the adjustment, start living right. And I believe tomorrow, in your tomorrows, you're going to see the hand of God work in your life like you never have before, okay? We hadn't even got to the message and it's already cooking. So this is going really well. I like it so far, okay? Verse 6, in the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. So let's recap real quick, and then we're going to dive in, right? So 2 weeks ago, when we started this whole series, Where Are You Going? We started asking about, are we going about our lives God's way, or are we going our own way? Are we truly living this life the way that God had for us, or are we doing this our own way? And we said that busyness, it begins to dictate the flow of our lives. And what happens is we begin to drift from the path that we're supposed to be on, and we really take the path of least resistance. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I just need something to go easy for me. Yesterday, I had one of those days, man, where just everything started going wrong. We're trying to finish up some remodel projects, and I was trying to cut some closet doors. You know, we put some new floor in, so I got to adjust the door. And while I was cutting it, the door slipped, and I just messed up the whole door. Seriously, messed it all out. I saw some ladies just do this. And there were like dollar signs in your eyeball. That's right. I know. I don't want to tell Cynthia. I knew she was going to see it. So then I was like, okay, this project isn't going good. Scratch that. Let me work on something else. And so I borrowed a piece of equipment. Brandon, if you hear this, it's okay. It's got a good ending. But I borrowed a piece of equipment from a friend. And so I was going to use it on this one project. I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I'm searching throughout the garage, and I can't find it. My garage looks like a bomb hit it, by the way. And so you can feel better about yours. And so we're looking everywhere. And my kids, you know, I'm trying to get them involved in the process, and they're not liking this thing. And so I'm texting Cynthia. I was like, okay, I can't do this right now. So we're going to put Judah's bed together. Yesterday was Judah's 14th birthday. I have two teenagers, strong teenagers in the house, living for the Lord, amen? And so I said, we're going to put together Judah's bed. He's had a twin mattress slammed on the floor, living like a college kid, and we figured we'd upgrade him. And so we bought him this bed, and it was refinished and all this fancy stuff, and we were told that it was a queen bed. Now, if you think that we treat our kids like they're royalty, actually, we're just trying to make room for when my family comes in town, okay? So don't think that we're just trying to make our kids live like kings, all right? And so I go to put this bed together, and the mattress is queen, but the bed is full. It's awesome. It's fantastic, man. And so I'm a handy guy, and so I figured there's a way to modify this, and we're going to make it work. So I start putting this plan together, and so I'm trying to use the chop saw, and the blade is dull, and I'm just burning the wood. It's just one of those days. And then after I get it cut, I need to sand it because it wasn't the best cutting in the world. And again, we're back to finding the sander, and I can't find it. And so we got all the kids in on this process, and Cynthia had to go in for work for a little while. So I'm like, where are you? Like, you need to come home and rescue me because I'm about to lose my mind. I mean, how many of y'all know those days? You ever had one of those? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like working me. I'm just like, ooh, bless the Lord in my soul and all that within me. And I'm just trying to fix. So I'm like, you know, when I get like that, I just start barking orders. I'm like, pick this up. Where you want me to put it? I don't know. Just put it somewhere. Bring it out. And so we start rearranging, and we turn that energy into rearranging the garage. And even after rearranging the garage, we still didn't find the sander. And so I was already planning, and Kelly's looking at me like, you better not have lost his sander. And so I'm like already going into the mode of like, all right, we're just going to have to buy another one. And then Cynthia says, I have a sander in the car.
I did not put it there. You put it there.
You see, I had a rough day, and now y'all are laughing at me. Lance, come finish this message. Anyway, that's why those are moments that make us want to take the path of least resistance. Am I right? That's the stuff. And so I want you to know, and listen, don't think just because you're a preacher that you have every day and it's awesome. I mean, it is not flowers and butterflies every day. Okay, I just need you to know that. And so it does, it puts you in the state of, let me just find easy street. And sometimes those moments like that put us in such stressful situations that we want to take easy street. And on that easy street, we don't realize that it could be causing us to drift away from who God wants us to be, how God wants us to live, and what God has for us.
That's right.
drift away from the priority of our purpose because we chase the urgency of those moments. This is so huge because this is where I really believe the struggle is for us as believers. A lot of times people think it's just these gross sins that make us look so bad, but really it's these little things that keep adding up that pulls us away from who we're supposed to be. Like, think of this. You ever been so stressed out that you lost it on your kids or your spouse or a coworker before, and afterwards you really thought about it and you're like, that's not who I want to be. But the moment, that moment of urgency turns you into somebody. We allow it to turn us into somebody that we never wanted to be, but yet here we are. We're like, wait a minute. Now I got to go apologize and try to fix things, and they're not going to love me. I just went off with my kid, and they're 11, and they're going to hate me for the rest of their life. They're never going to bring their kids to our house for Thanksgiving. Like, it's those kinds of things that just run through our minds. And we just need some, like, some relief. It's got to be better. And so in this verse here in Joshua 3, week 1, he said, purify yourselves. And that word purify, if you break it down, it's got a few meanings, but one of the meanings is to consecrate yourself. Now, I know that sounds all big churchy and stuff, but the word consecrate means you got to set yourself apart.
Right.
That means you can't just be what comes natural. You can't just be what everybody else does. You got to set yourself apart and say, I'm dedicated to being the kind of person. In other words, I'm going to handle this in a God-like manner. Yeah. Instead of handling this the way that I want to handle it. Come on, somebody. Because the way I want to handle it, come on, everybody's got the way they really, really want to handle it. All the positive people, don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you, because they are about one candy bar away from losing their mind on you. Listen, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I mean, they are just so close to the edge. And I thank you for your positivity, but we all know when you get in the car and ain't nobody looking, you hitting that steering wheel. And you are not listening to some classic rock. Really, what he was telling them, he was saying, make a change, because God wants to do something great in your life. And this is the word I want to speak to us. Just to remind you from a couple weeks ago, is make the changes that we know that we need to make. Because God wants to do something in your life. And when God starts doing these things in our lives, it starts to trickle to the people that are in our lives.
Yes.
And the people that are around our lives. So we said three things to getting on this right path. Three things. If we're gonna really purify ourselves, consecrate, we said the first thing was you got to make a decision. You have to make the decision before you get in the moment, though. Because a lot of times we're trying to figure it out after all the chaos is happening. But we got to make up our minds, like right now, that this is the kind of person I know that I'm supposed to be. And this is the kind of person that I've been. And so I'm going to make a decision today to change that. Like, it starts with a decision, not with a situation. So I'm making a decision now that I'm going to change. And that's where we get the word repent from. And repentance is a change of direction. I used to handle it this way, but now I'm going to handle it God's way. And by the way, let me just slide this in here. Please don't have the view of Jesus as Mr. Rogers. Because if you read your Bible, you see that dude was for real, man. Like, I mean, he wasn't just super positive. He was really legit. He had emotions, and he had to keep them in control. And you read things about when he went in the temple and they were selling stuff instead of praying, and he started flipping tables. You explain that to me and tell me what that is. You see how quiet it gets in here? Because the dude was so real, and this is what we forget about Jesus. Sometimes we figureize him, and we turn him into somebody who is just so innate and so untouchable. But I need you to know, Jesus was real. Yes. Amen? And the Amen. Very temptations and the very battles that you and I face, he dealt with on a daily basis. But guess what? He took a different route to deal with it. He followed God's way, and he made a way for us to follow it. So we got to make a decision. The second thing is we got to follow the directions. It's not just, okay, I'm going to change, and then go right back to doing it the way we always did, but feel good because we said we were going to change. But it's now looking at the direction book, the Word of God, and following those directions as an application of the decision that we made. Are you grabbing this today? And then the third thing that we said is this, is that you got to stay dedicated. This isn't just for one season. This isn't just for when the kids are little. This isn't just because you've had a crisis that occurred and we got to hurry up and fix everything and make it right. And once everything gets back to normal, then we go back to living whatever way. This is a lifestyle, amen? Amen?
Amen.
This isn't just my faith in my 40s. This is my lifestyle that I'm living. If you ain't 40 yet, you're going to get there. If you used to be 40, we coming for you. Okay? So this week, this is what I want to talk about. This week, I want to talk about how to keep going on that right path. How do I keep going on this path of following Jesus and living out God's plan for your life? Okay? So Joshua told them to purify yourselves, consecrate yourselves. But then he said this right afterwards. He said to lift up the Ark of the Covenant. And so I want to take a few moments here and give you some background on the Ark of the Covenant, okay? How many of y'all remember the movie back in the day, Raiders of the Lost Ark? How many of y'all remember that, okay? That movie was centralized around the Ark of the Covenant. They were trying to find this lost Ark, okay? And so this Ark of the Covenant, God had instructed the Israelites to build like a box, okay? And he gave them specific kind of woods. You gave them specific kinds of instructions of everything to do to build it. And then he said, I want you to overlay this thing with gold. I want you to put some poles on it. I want you to get some priests lined up. And they're going to carry this ark. Wherever you go, these priests are going to carry this ark. And they are going to lead you with it. And God says, look, I'm going to be the one that is going to dwell inside of this ark. Okay? So inside of the box, they put a few things that were really, really close to them, that were really significant to them, okay? Inside this box, they put the Ten Commandments that were written on stone. They put them inside. I mean, that would be something important to put in the God box, am I right? I mean, Ten Commandments, kind of a big deal. You might want to hold on to those. And so they made sure they put those in there. And then while they were in the wilderness, they were starving. They didn't think they were going to make it. And they thought God forgot about them. Didn't care. God, you brought us all the way out here to do this to us. And I know none of you have ever said anything like that before, but they did. And so they thought that they were going to starve in the wilderness. And so God calls manna. It's like rain was, I mean, the bread was falling like rain from heaven. And they were capturing this bread, this manna. And it was only good for one day. And so they put some in a pot to keep it. And this stuff stayed for a while. So they decided, let's throw that in this box too. It's pretty significant. And then this guy, the priest, this is like Moses' brother, Aaron. Aaron had this rod. This was his stick, his walking stick that he had for a long time. And at one point, this stick decided to bud. Like it hadn't been planted in the ground or anything, but now it's starting to bud a little bit. I mean, if you got a walking stick and it starts to bud, bring it to me. I'm going to see it. That's pretty cool. And so they thought, this is pretty cool. Put it in the box. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when you move it. You only keep the real stuff. Everything else, you need to sell it on Facebook Marketplace. You throw it away or bring it to the thrift store. Okay? And so they said, these are the things that are important to us. And what's so cool is this. When you really break down these things, they are representative of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so they put these in this box and they would carry them. And this ark could contain the presence of God on earth. What happens is these priests would set up this portable tabernacle. In fact, if you go read some of this stuff in Exodus, you start looking around this room and they're hanging drapes on pipes and stuff. You start saying, hey, I bet our marriage looked a lot like that tabernacle. Anyway, I thought you would like that. I like that. A little bit better about our situation when I look at it like that. So they would set this up, and they had this room in there called the Holy Place. And only the priests could go in there. And they would take this ark, and they would put it in there. And on top of the ark, they had carved these angels that would face each other, kind of like this, with their wings forward. And in the middle of where those wings face forward, they believed that's where the presence of God would dwell. And the priests would go in there, and they would represent the people, and they would bring the requests of the people before God, and God would meet with them. And this Ark of the Covenant became so important to them because it was the presence and power of God that they would look to for miracles, because they needed miracles along their journey. How many of you need some miracles? You need God to do something. I mean, you got some real life situations. And so they saw this God box, if you will, as their source of strength. It was their source of confidence, and it would guide them on their journey to the promised land. And this is what we can learn from that we need God's presence to lead us. They would take this Ark of the Covenant, and before they would go into any battle, the priests would carry the Ark, and they were the first ones to go into the battle. When they were going to cross this Red Sea, the priests would go first. When they were crossing the Jordan, the priests would go. Everywhere they would go, the priests would go first, carrying this Ark with them, and it's symbolizing the need for God's presence to lead us in our lives. Now, a lot of times, the way we work is we chase moments of urgency. And so if it's urgent, let me run with this. Oh, God, we got to take care of this. We got to do this, and we got to do this. And a lot of times, because we're chasing the urgency, we miss the moment. We miss the moment that we need with God, because a moment with God can give you enough wisdom to take care of a lifetime. That's good stuff for somebody here today. A moment with God can give you wisdom for a lifetime, but our urgency, we're so urgent with everything, and we're stressed, and we're high strung, and even the dudes now are high strung. Don't act like you're not. We know you're acting all chill, but you're just high stress. And when the stress hits us, we mouth off to our kids, and we say those little sharp things to our spouses, and then that one guy that was our friend, we say something to him, we didn't mean to say it that way, and next thing you know, they want to take us in the parking lot and fight with us. He was like, whoa, how'd we get here? What's going on is this pressure is building up. What's happening is we're following our instincts instead of the presence of God. They had never been there before. And on this journey, think about in your marriage, you have never been where you're at right now. Never been there before. With raising your kids, you've never been there before. Maybe as a student right now, you're trying to finish college. You've never been there before. You're just trying to make it through. Maybe you're in high school and just like, man, this biology teacher is eating my life. You've never been there before. So what are we going to do in those moments where we've never been before? Because our instincts tell us to do things like this. Quit. Run. Get out of it. Find a better alternative. These are the things that our instincts begin to tell us. But what if the presence of God was the central influence of our life? He may give us the wisdom to stay. He may give us the wisdom to do some things that we need to do in order to better ourselves in the situations that our instincts would have told us to quit or to run from. Are you grabbing this today? This is why it's so important that we understand the presence of God and the need for it in our life. So let's take it and make it practical. Because sometimes when we hear about God's presence, what happens is it starts to sound mystical. And there's some realists that are in the room. And when you start talking about this, they kind of check out, you know, because it can sound a little bit out there because you're talking about God's presence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so sometimes people think, oh, all those people who are charismatic like to talk about the presence of God. It's so important for us to realize that God is alive.
Yeah.
And He is our present help. He is present in our lives, and if we don't look to Him, we can make some big mistakes, and I believe that we can live the best life by following His presence. Amen? So watch this. Theologically and doctrinally, we believe that God is, watch this word, it's a big one, omnipresent. Omnipresent. Now, I know if you're like me, when I hear the word omnipresent, I think of the Dodge Omni that I used to ride to school with my cousin. Man, and this car was terrible, man. It would never start. We always had to get people to jump start us. And my cousin got so mad one day, he punched the car, and massive dent in the car, and everybody liked the car more after he punched it than before. I don't know what was up with that, but that's the word that when I see omnipresent, I always think of that Dodge Omni. And so, okay, half of you thought that was cool, the other half, like, what's the point? Like, what's the point, all right? I know you drove to school in a cooler car than me. We get it. All right, so that word omnipresent means this. He's anywhere and He's everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And people, their mind is just blown about that because you're trying to be in two places at once and we just can't pull that off. And so how does He do that? And the way that God does that is He is spirit. And because He is spirit, He has the capacity to be everywhere all at once. Okay? So watch this. Let me help you with something here. So what that means is we don't have to constantly ask God to show up in our lives. I know I went through one season of my life and it was stressful and everything. And this is our natural instinct right here. God, where are you? It's kind of like God saw me getting into something. He's like, oh, let me get out of here before I'm involved. I'm going to be involved in that. But that's not how He is. He is present. And the problem is this, is that we don't acknowledge that He's actually there. Now, I need you to know there are people here today that you don't realize are here. You don't see them. There are children that are here today. You don't see them right now. But it doesn't mean that they're not here. You just haven't acknowledged that they are here. There are people in this room. You don't realize they're here. They are here. Bobby's sitting back there in the back. You didn't know he was here until I told you that just now. But he's here. He's really here in the flesh. And this is how it is sometimes with God. We don't realize that he is actually there, but he's here with us. We just hadn't acknowledged it. And when we begin to acknowledge that God is here, that's where we really see the benefit of him in our life. So let me unpack this for you a little bit and take it another step further. You know how, like, if you're a church person, like you grew up in church, all your life you were told to read your Bible and pray? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, I grew up in church, Bible drills, sword drills is what we used to call them. And, like, you know, I had to memorize scripture and all this stuff. And it was like, get the little star on the chart in children's church. It felt really good because you get the little mug because you did better than all your friends, you know, like all that stuff. And so you get older and, you know, you want to pass this on to your kids. And it just feels like Christian duty. Am I right? Like, this is my duty. I got to do this. I didn't do it. I'm a terrible person. I'm going to go to hell because I didn't read my Bible for 2 days. Like, those are the things that come in our minds, and we get so caught up on the duty. But let me flip this for you. Read that Bible and pray. You know what it's doing? It's helping you to acknowledge God's presence in your life. You see, somebody's perspective just now changed about reading their Bible. And now you don't see it as a duty. You see it as an opportunity. Watch this. To meet with God.
Yeah.
And when you meet with God, you get access to all that he is. And so this whole idea of reading your Bible and praying, it's not just a duty, but it's acknowledging God's presence. It's tapping into his presence. Those times of worship where we're singing songs, we're lifting our hands, we're clapping. I know that looks and feels just like a Christian activity. Like, that's what, like, in church, you get here in the morning, we play a fast song, so we clap, we pulled a fast one on you this morning, and we played the slow song first, and then the fast one in the middle, and then another. Some of y'all were like, just, your mind was just mesmerized. You thought you were really late when we started with a slow song. I ain't gonna say nothing about that. Third song, coffee drinkers. Anyway, it just feels like Christian activity, but what's happening in those moments where we're clapping, where we're singing, where we're lifting our hands and worshiping God, what we're actually doing is acknowledging that God's presence is here.
Yes.
We're acknowledging that God is present in my life, and I'm just responding to it. It's like seeing somebody and not acknowledging that. Like, if my wife walks in and I just don't even acknowledge that she's here, we're going to have a conversation later on. But, like, right now in that moment, I need to acknowledge, hey, baby, good to see you. Like, I need to acknowledge that she's here. And so when we're worshiping God, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that he's here, and we're responding to him with praise and thanksgiving. Come on, this is just simple, but so good. Because what it does is it takes it from Christian duty and Christian activity to purpose. It brings us to the place that I realize the whole point of me doing this is acknowledging God's presence is here in my life. Here's another one. Church attendance. We look at it as Christian duty, but actually it's a corporate gathering of believers together, acknowledging God's presence through worship, through learning God's word, through service, through giving of the tithes and offering. What am I doing? I am acknowledging the presence of God. Whenever I come together with this magnificent body of believers, I'm saying, God, I know that you are present in my everyday life, and I'm present too. I know you're here, and you show up all the time. I don't always show up, but I'm showing up today. I'm here, and if I'm here, I am going to respond to you in worship. Breaks my heart when people have been away from church, and they feel guilty, and they don't feel like they can worship God. Let me say this. Been away from church for any time, all of heaven is just rejoicing because you came back. Amen. They are throwing a party, so you might as well join the party. Amen. Come on, somebody. Join the party, because God's been working to get you back to come see him again. And so if you hadn't been for a while, we're so glad that you're here. We're not mad at you. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't mad.
We're not mad.
Now, if you're mad at your spouse, y'all work that out. So watch this. There's purpose. There's purpose in the presence of God. He shapes our perspective. If you go for a long time and we're not praying, and we're not in God's word, watch what happens. Instead of having some convictions about things, we start developing opinions about things. And this is what I learned about opinions. Opinions work a lot like buffets. I'll take a little bit of that. I'll take a little. I don't eat green stuff, so I'm not putting that on my plate. I don't eat that. You see what I'm saying? We just take a little bit of the stuff that we like, mix it all together with our recipe, and that becomes our belief system. That becomes the way we believe. But I need you to know that God's got a lot more than just our opinion.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot more to it. And so if we're not spending time in God's presence, you have to know yourself well enough that you would draw your own conclusions instead of seeing the real picture of who God is. That's why being in His Word and spending time with Him is so important. It shapes our perspective to help us see this life that He's given us through His eyes instead of just through our own. Here's another thing the presence of God does for it. It nourishes our soul. There is no other place that our souls can be nourished like the presence of God. Can I get an amen? There is no other place that you can experience the safety, the peace, the strength, the courage, all of these different things than in God's presence. It's like the total package. And this is why it's so important to us, because there is so much that is coming after our soul. There are so many things that are programmed to knock on the doors of our emotions and draw us in and tempt us emotionally. We have to have some stability there, and that's where the presence of God comes in. Because when I'm spending time with God's presence, what's it doing? It's shaping my soul so I won't fall for the craziness that this world is bringing to me. Are you grabbing this today? This is really good stuff, by the way. I feel good about it. Okay. Here's another thing the presence of God does. He refuels us. He refreshes us. He reminds us. Watch this. There were things in previous seasons of your life that God spoke to you, that God did in your life, that maybe we forgot about because of some things that have occurred. Some overwhelming things that have, watch this, captivated so much of our attention that we forgot. We forgot what He did. We forgot the significance of it. You ever forgot a child's birthday before? Anniversary before? A good friend, they were having one of those days that needed to be celebrated, and it slipped your mind because craziness was going on in your life. And they were merciful to you, but the guilt that comes upon us because we didn't want to miss that. This is what I believe happens to us. We become so overwhelmed that we miss the moments. We're trying to make memories, but we're missing the moments because we're so overwhelmed trying to make it perfect because of what happened to us in a previous season. Are you grabbing this stuff today? This is so imperative that we understand this. This is why our need for God's presence is so important. To connect with God. And ultimately, watch this. When we spend time in God's presence, He becomes our influence. Let me take it like this. He becomes our compass. He becomes the one that helps us find our direction. So like Joshua, he knew a good plan. He had great plans. I mean, this guy was very strategic. He was a warrior. He was a champion on the battlefield. So he was very, very strategic. So he was a very good planner. But he knew that his plans would only take them so far. Remember the verse. They had never been there before. Here's the thing. Joshua hasn't been there either. He's never been able to be this far before, but God just keeps saying, keep going, I'm going to lead you there. And it's this guy who had never been there trying to take a bunch of people who had never been there. And so his credibility was coming from only one place, and that was from the presence of God in his life. And sometimes you don't feel like you have the credibility to lead your family where it needs to go because of what you grew up in, because of the dysfunction that you were exposed to, because of something that happened to you. And maybe you don't feel like you can be a good dad because you didn't have a good dad. Or maybe you don't feel like you can be a good mom because you have all these other responsibilities that you have to take care of. Or maybe you feel like you're always going to be labeled the prodigal son because of that one time when you were 14, you decided to do some crazy things. And now that's kind of become your identity. But I need you to know that if we can be in the presence of God, it's going to shape our perspective to see that I used to be this way, but I don't have to be that way anymore because God is taking me somewhere. Amen. God, I don't have to stay stuck in the dysfunction. If I stay with God's presence, I can walk in the promised land. God's not trying to punish me anymore. Jesus went to the cross and paid for that.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, we're hanging out in this world of karma and the universe and all that stuff. Don't forget God created the universe. And so instead of dealing with the results, let's deal with the person. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Just got passionate there for a second. Bring it back. Even though Joshua was such a great planner, he understood that they needed some inspiration. Remember, they had been on this journey for over 40 years now. And there are people like who were kids when they started, and now they're old. And now they got opinions and stuff. And they're like, oh, Joshua. I mean, you ever felt that way about a coach before? Cynthia got mad at me last night because I had some things to say about our coach at LSU. And she's like, you're never going to be happy with him. And I said, I know. I just not. I told her I only get one space in my life to really be crazy, and this is it, with sports. So let me be crazy, okay? And so I'm sure they looked at Joshua and thought, it's just going to be more of the same old thing, wandering around in this wilderness. Watch this. Here we go. We're going to another church. It's going to be the same old thing. Join another e-group. Whoop-de-doo. It's going to be the same old thing again. Oh, the kids are going to Surge. Great. They went to camp last year and worked for a week. I know. That just sounds depressing. Am I right? But how quickly can we get there? Are you grabbing this? How quickly can we get there? Where our perspective just gets so negative and we just get so hopeless. And this is where that presence of God becomes so important. And Joshua knew, because of the state of where they had been, that they would need the inspiration. They would need an influence and an example. And so he said, let's put the presence of God out in front. And so when those priests put their foot into that Jordan River and that water begins to step back, the people are reminded of a miracle that God had done for Moses back at the Red Sea. And they're like, whoa, it works. These priests going out in front carrying the presence, it's working. And the water's starting to part. I thought we were going to have to swim. I don't want to swim. I don't want to get wet. I got new shoes and I can't get my shoes wet. It's like those kind of, and now they see the water is parting and they start seeing the legitimacy in Joshua that they had for Moses. And now they're like, let's follow this guy. And Joshua winds up being the one that took them into the promised land. And how did he do it? He led them with the presence of God. And so this Ark of the Covenant, it can almost become like a good luck charm. And I believe that's how a lot of the people of Israel saw it. This is our good luck charm. Just bring the Ark and everything's going to be fine. But it is so much more than that. And it is so much more for us, because God doesn't want to dwell in a box. He wants to dwell in a person. Yes. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives where?
In you.
Look at your neighbor and say, in you. He lives in you. This is where God wants to be. And so watch this. He wants to be an inner influence. He wants to be an inner compass. And so now you don't have to just trust your instincts. You can follow the lead of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Feeling passionate about this today. So God doesn't live in a box. He doesn't live in the building. Listen, let me help you with something here. This building right here, you know what's holy about it? The people who are in it. Because this is a cafeteria, and tomorrow there's going to be M&M's, Skittles, there's going to be some peanut butter and jelly smeared on that floor tomorrow. And kids are going to be going crazy. Some little dude's going to get sent to the office out of this place because he's acting like his parents used to act. I hope it's not your kid. So watch this. You don't realize what God has put in you. You don't realize what God has made available to you. So watch this in Romans 8:11. I'm going to speed up because I got to finish. It says, but if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, watch this, you who acknowledge him, you welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, even though you got some problems, is what he's saying. You yourself experience life on God's turn. Even though you got stuff happening, you're like, wait a minute, I'm still living the life. I still got God's presence in my life. I'm feeling good about this. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. And with his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's body was.
Amen.
I'm just reading the Bible today. That's all I'm doing is reading the Bible. It was in there all along. But sometimes we don't see it. We look for the sugar daddy verse. Mm-hmm. Let me hurry up and Google depression. I'm not against it. Do it. But when you read a verse like this, you start to realize, wait a minute. He's put something in me through his spirit that even though I'm facing this and that, and I can't find a verse for that, and even though this, where in the world did that come from? You have something in you that is greater than all these things that are coming against you. It is the very presence and spirit of God, and it strengthens you, and it empowers you, and it encourages you, and it tells you we're going to make it through. I don't know how, but I got something in me that's greater than all these things that are around me. So watch this. There is no way that we live the life that God has planned for us without the presence of God.
That's right.
Without God being involved in it. We'll get off track. Mm-hmm. We'll quit. Mm-hmm. We'll give up. We'll question if we can do this. We'll allow other things to distract us. We'll look for other things to nourish our soul. We'll drink every energy drink we can to keep us going. And we'll hit a high and crash. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of God paces us mm-hmm. with wisdom and helps you to keep going. There are some seasons where you feel like you're moving at a faster pace. There are other seasons where you just feel like it's just steady as could be. There are other seasons where it feels like God is slowing it down. Maybe he's trying to get you to observe some things that you haven't seen before. Yeah. He knows the pace that we need to go to run the race that we're running. So here's how we finish. What do I do with God's presence? What do I do? Real quick, here we go. Number one, pursue God's presence. Pursue God's presence. Remember and recognize that he's here with you. Make this your daily routine, okay? Set a God appointment every day. And I'll encourage you, do this in the morning. God, I'm thankful that you are with me. Start there. God, I am thankful that you are with me. Before you're about to step into that meeting, God, I'm thankful that you are with me. Before you have to confront that person, God, I'm thankful that you are with me. Before you're having to have a moment with your children, God, I'm thankful that you are with me. Before you're about to take that test, holy God, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, heaven above, that you sent angels to comfort. Like, thank you, Lord, that you are with me. I acknowledge you. But it has to be pursued. Has to be pursued. Here's the second thing. Pour out your heart in God's presence. Don't just come and say, okay, we're here. What do we do now? Pour out your heart in God's presence. This is what I wrote in my notes. Don't just stand there. Pour out your heart. You're saying, what do you mean? This is where we worship the Lord. Me and church together, we're clapping our hands to the songs. We're clapping because we're winning. We're clapping because we're taunting the enemy. That's why we're clapping. This isn't just to clap along with the beat because it's awkward and nobody else knows what to do. We're lifting our hands in worship. And why are we lifting our hands in worship? Because God, I need you. I'm surrendered to you. But also, I know in you we have victory. That's why I'm lifting my hands. You see, I'm engaging with the Lord. I'm not just sitting there awkwardly like we don't know how to talk. I'm like, God, you're so good. I don't know what to say, but I'm going to worship you. And I love you. And God, I need your help. You see what we're doing? We're cultivating a prayer life there. We're cultivating a worship life. But here's the third thing I would say is prioritize God's presence. Everything is important. I know that. But nothing is as important as God's presence in your life. Let me say again, you have so much in your life that is important. So many things. But nothing is as important as God's presence in your life. And we have to make it a priority. Meaning this, make him your top influence. Follow his lead. Just like he told those priests to carry it with you, New Testament says this, that you're the priest now. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. No longer do you need a mediator between you and God. Jesus has already come and fulfilled that role. Now you and I get to go straight to God. And the priestly role that we stand in now is this. We represent him to all this work. Those parents that stood up here today with those children, you're like priests. You're representing God to your children. You're representing your children to God. But the goal is to get them to the point to where they see their place and they understand, wait a minute, Mom and Dad aren't the only ones who are priests. I'm a priest too. And I have full access to God. I have full access to His presence. And the only thing like this that can keep me from Him is me. It's me. That's it. And maybe today you hear this message and you feel like a burden's been lifted off of you because you didn't feel like you can get close to God. Maybe because you've been carrying the burden of some sin. Or maybe there's been some religious teaching that taught you that you need to get it all together before you go to Him. I want to present to you today that God is a loving Father whose arms are wide open, and He's been waiting for His children, His sons and daughters, to come running home to Him. And today, listen, no matter where you've been, God's been waiting for this moment. He wants you to know that in His presence, there is joy, there is hope, that there is peace, that there is salvation, that there is healing, that there is redemption. You say, I just don't want to be condemned for where I've been. I remind you what it says in Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is why it's so important for us to be in God's presence. So our perspective doesn't turn into opinion, but it stays solid on the foundation of God's word. And we see Him for who He really is, rather than what our life's emotions have dictated for Him to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place today. Because maybe today you feel like you're far away from God. Maybe right now, as your eyes are closed and you're thinking about your life, perhaps you're rewinding back to your past. And typically, we go right back to that moment where we messed up, where we made a decision that has affected so much in our lives. And it almost feels like we're still paying penance. In fact, every time something goes wrong, we feel like that's the penance that we pay for what happened. Perhaps you're in the boat of feeling like you're paying for your parents' sins. Perhaps you're here today and you're walking through something right now and you don't even know how to interpret it. But because of the urgency that it's created, you know that you're not where you need to be. It's caused you to drift. Today the Lord is saying, come home to me. In fact, the Bible says it like this, come to me all who are heavy laden, all of you who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you're here today and you say, I am away from God, but I'm responding to His invitation to come today. I just want you to slip a hand today. Just slip it up real quick and say, will you pray with me, Pastor? I need to come to the Lord. Renew my commitment to Him. Restore my relationship with Him. Anyone else today would say, Pastor, will you pray with me today? I need to come close to the Lord and renew this relationship. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Every Sunday, as a church, we pray this prayer together. And I want to invite you in today. We say it all out loud. I'll lead you in it. But this basically is us saying, God, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. Will you pray this with me? Say, dear Lord, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
For always looking for me.
For always looking for me.
Even chasing me down.
Chasing me down.
And today I'm standing before you.
Today I'm standing before
you. And I realize how much I need you.
And I realize how much I need you.
I've done things wrong. I'm overwhelmed. I'm trying hard. I don't know what else to do, but I know you're my Savior, and I know that you're my Lord, and so I surrender my life completely to you, and I ask you to forgive my sins,
and make me a new person,
and let today be a new beginning for me,
a fresh start,
as I choose to live my life your ways. I turn from my ways of doing things. And I choose to do it your way. So Lord, I ask for your help. And I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. And let your presence be my lead. And my guide. I'm all yours, Lord. I want to
live my life
your way. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we put our hands together for those today?